Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I ask that you would, according to the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and we know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us. Now, you said that we should pray for kings and rulers and all those who are in authority over us, so we lift up our president right now in Jesus' name. We ask for divine protection and a covering over him. We thank you, Father, I believe he's a man who prays. He has surrounded himself with evangelical Christian leaders, and he is a man who is putting Israel first, who's putting his country first. And I thank you for that, Father. And we just speak divine protection over him. We ask that you would speak to him and guide his heart, that you would be the leader in his mind and in his thoughts. We thank you, Father, for Israel. We bless them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that there is peace in Jerusalem, that as they're coming to their 70th anniversary of being made a nation again, that there will be peace in the land in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about the wells of love. Wells of love. I was thinking about it this week, and it's been just on my heart all week long. I even talked about it some in our Friday morning prayer meeting. And so some of what I talked about in our Friday morning prayer meeting is going to come out in today's service. Okay? One day, Jesus was walking from Judea to Galilee. On the way from Judea to Galilee is a little area called Samaria. And Jesus was going through Samaria, and he was tired. You know, Scripture says he was tired. So if you've ever wondered, was Jesus fully man or fully God? Well, he was both. He was fully man and fully... because I suspect God doesn't get tired. He says he never slumbers or sleeps, right? But Jesus was tired. He had an earthly human body, and he was tired. And he comes up to this well, and he's sitting there. And a Samaritan woman comes up to the well, and he starts to talk to her. This is really amazing for her, because as a Samaritan woman, they're considered half-breeds. Because their Jewish descendants and their ancestors did what they weren't supposed to do and married non-Jewish people. And so they're considered half-breeds, and that they've got this area, Samaria, there, where they've got the well that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So this is how the land is theirs. It's Jacob's well, and so he's at Jacob's well, and this woman comes up, they start talking. He says, "Get me some water," because he didn't have anything to draw it up. She says, "Well, you don't have anything to draw it up with. You know, just get me some water from your bucket." And they begin to talk. This is just Jesus. He just begins to talk with her. How simple is that, to just start talking with someone, right? He just starts talking with her, and during the course of their conversation, he tells her, he says, "Well, you know, I know that you've been married 5 times, and the husband that you're with now, you're not even married to." So what is he doing? He is hearing by revelation from the Spirit of God who's living inside of him as he stopped at the well about this woman. God wants to minister to her. She's a broken person. You're not a broken... people who are broken don't go through that many marriages, through that many relationships. She's broken. She's searching for something. And Jesus is about to tell her, "I have what you need." They get the water, and he says, "You can drink this water, but you're going to be thirsty again." He said, "I have water that I can give you, and you'll never thirst again." He's fixing her. Remember on Easter, I talked about how God fixes us. He fixed us through Jesus. This is Jesus fixing someone else. He's going to restore her. He's telling her, "I have water. I have something that I can give you that's going to restore you. You're never going to be thirsty again." He's helping her. He's got love. Love restores. Love restores. Jesus is the one thing that will help and can help everybody. He is the only thing that can make you right. He is the only thing. When he comes into your life, He is the only thing who comes into your life and changes dramatically who we are. I was thinking as we were ending worship this morning, I've got the microphone up here and I'm singing into it. I was thinking about when I was in Teen Challenge because, you know, I was a mess. Sometimes I still am. But I'm not the mess I was then. They had choir, which was all of Teen Challenge, went out and sang in churches. Then they had special choir. And for some reason, they put me on special choir. I've never really felt like much of a singer, but they listened to me sing, and so they put me on special choir. And I was thinking about that this morning as I'm holding the microphone, and I'm singing along with Chuck and Deb, and they, you know, they can sing. You know, and I'm kind of like, you know, background, you know, I'm one of the pips, you know. Paul wrote in Romans 5:5, and this is powerful. He says, the love of God has been shed abroad or filled to overflow on our hearts. He has shed abroad his love in our hearts. I mean, just shed abroad. I love that. The word used there literally means like when new wine is poured into an old wineskin. Remember, Jesus said, no one takes new wine and puts it into an old wineskin because if you do, it'll burst. But this is exactly what this kind of thing refers to. Because when you put that new wine into the old wineskin, it bursts and it goes everywhere. That's what that word means, shed abroad in our hearts. It means he took his love and put it in our hearts, and it burst, and it splattered everywhere, all over inside our hearts. There's nowhere inside your heart that the love of God cannot go. Jesus was telling this to the woman. I can make your heart so it's full of love, and then you won't be seeking it from someone, because you got it from me. The love of God has been splattered everywhere in our heart. You could say like when you wash your big dog. How many people have a big dog? And you wash your big dog. And what is the first thing he does when he gets out of the water? He shakes and that water goes everywhere. It's the same kind of thing. Now you've got water from your dog all over your bathroom. It's the same way with the love of God in our hearts. No, I'm not saying God is like a dog. I'm saying but the same principle applies. The love of God has just been splattered like you get the rainbird sprinklers outside and it is splattering water everywhere. The love of God has been splattered abroad in our hearts. It's like if you were to take, have you ever seen people when they do those balloons and they put paint in them and then they throw darts at the balloons and the balloons pop and paint goes everywhere. That's you with the love of God in your heart. God put his balloon of love in your heart, popped it, and it went everywhere. In Ephesians chapter 3, is that good? I like that. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed this prayer. He said, I pray that he, God, may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. So how does he dwell in our heart? Through faith. Through faith. You know, we're also told that faith works by love. So we can't be walking in faith and not have love, and we can't be walking in love and not be in faith. Faith and love go together, okay? I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So having his love in us, walking in that, understanding that, being aware of and knowing that his love is in us is what enables us to have the fullness of God. This is Paul the Apostle. He wrote most of the New Testament, didn't he? He traveled and did missionary journeys for 30 years, sharing the love of Jesus everywhere he went. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, if we will understand that we should be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, width, depth, and the expression of God's love. See, it's been shattered abroad in our heart, splattered abroad in our heart. His love surpasses knowledge. His love. We have a hard time in our minds because most of us come from broken people who married a broken person, who raised broken children. Do you know what I'm saying? We all come from families that are imperfect. And so understanding love is complicated. It's difficult. I'm thinking right now about I Can Only Imagine. Everybody see the movie I Can Only Imagine? I mean, this man, he is abused and beaten by his dad. His mom ran away because she couldn't take it anymore. When he grew up, he had this girlfriend, but he couldn't admit that he loved her. He didn't understand it because his perception of love was that love was something that beat you up. He was broken. And it's not until he's able to spend time with his dad, who has now come to Jesus and is trying to fix his ways. Now he starts to understand, I can love my dad. Now he starts to understand, I'm sorry if you haven't seen the movie, I don't mean to spoiler alert. But this is the thing, is that love changed him. Love changed his dad. Love changed him. That's where we get the song, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine. Oh, come on. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us, glory to God forevermore in the church in Jesus Christ. This love is able to do more than we think. More than we can comprehend. The love of God, Paul told Timothy, the love of God casts out fear. The love of God, it'll keep you from being afraid. Remember, we've been going through the book of Acts. Paul was warned not to go to Jerusalem because he was going to be bound up and put in prison. But the love of God compelled him to go forward because he wasn't done. There were things he still had to do. It was in his heart to go there. His love. This is a prayer for believers to know about the love of God, that he so loved the world, love. He so loved us, love came. He so loved us, love delivered. He so loved us, love rescued. He so loved us, love shed himself abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us by faith. That while we were still sinners, rebelling against him, love came. When we rejected him, love came. When we refused him, love came. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is coming. I'm going to send him, and he's going to convict the world of sin. Why? Because love wants reconciliation. Love wants to bring sinners to their Messiah. Love wants to bring the lost into salvation. Love wants to bring the outsider into covenant, into the covenant house, into the covenant walk, into the covenant life that God has for us. Love wants us. Love wants you. Love wants you. He wants you. Psalm 18:19 says that he rescued me and brought me to a spacious place. The love of God isn't confining. You people think, well, if I get saved, I can't do anything. No, you're not going to want to do certain things. But you're living in a spacious place now because you're living in the love of God. And the love of God that overwhelms our hearts and flows through us. Jesus said, it'll be like to you, rivers of living water coming out of you. The Holy Spirit is love, because if he lives in your heart and he's been splattered abroad in your heart, then that's a river of living water. A river of living water could be love. After all, Jesus said, they will know my disciples by their love one for another, not for their correcting ability of one another. Oh, come on. By their love one for another. Because we love each other. His love, or his place, is spacious. There's room for everybody in it. There's room for everybody in the love of God. When Kathy and I were getting married, I was talking to my mom. I said, and then we're talking about having kids and stuff like that, after we get married, and I'm talking to my mom, and I said, I just don't know if I have enough love for that. And she says, but love isn't like that. She says, love grows. Love expands. You're going to learn as you love that love grows. When I first got here, the people that were here, I didn't know. But as soon as we got here, man, I'm telling you what, I loved them. Why? Because God puts you in my heart. He puts other people in your heart. God expands. It's a spacious. I mean, you just think about walking in. Maybe you've ever lived in a one-bedroom apartment and it was small and you didn't have room to move around. And then you moved into a two- or three-bedroom apartment with so much space and you didn't have enough stuff to fill all the space. Come on. It's spacious. It's like that. It's spacious. Isaiah said that his long arm of love rescues us. Love rescues. It's not the infatuation love that doesn't last. God's love isn't like that. It's not like the, you know, people say, well, the honeymoon time is over. Now, you know, people, you know, because that means you stop, you know, being so affectionate and lovey-dovey and everything like that. Kathy and I hug. You know what our son does? He comes and he tries to get between us. See? Love, real love, doesn't lose its honeymoon time. It makes it through tough times and helps us to overcome. And we might have some arguments and we might have some disagreements, but love, Kathy and I always said before we got married, we will never even discuss divorce. It's never an option on the table. Why? Because love reaches beyond the infatuation scene and gets into the hard time scene when you're going through trouble, right? Because then you feel the love of God. It's a commitment. It's intentional. It's thoughtful. It's not limited by experience. Well, I loved you, but then you hurt my feelings. Now you have to keep your distance from me, or I have to keep my distance from you, because my love has experienced a hurt. So now we can't have anything to do with each other until I get over it, until my flesh stops responding. No, that's not what love does. Let's talk about Hosea the prophet. Anybody familiar with Hosea the prophet? Come on, I mean, this is a man. Listen, God said don't be unequally yoked, didn't he? But he tells this Hosea the prophet to go out and marry a prostitute. I'd say that's unequally yoked. Wouldn't you? I mean, this woman, and she steps out on him, and she's mean to him. I mean, and he's commanded by God to keep loving her and taking her back. This is our example that God has for us. We keep hurting him, and he keeps taking us back. We keep disobeying him, and he keeps taking us back. And it's the perfect example of God and his dealings with Israel. Because Israel kept going out and worshiping other gods, and then they'd get in trouble. Oh, we need the real God to help us. Well, if you knew he was the real God all along, why are you out worshiping all these other gods? Do you know what I'm saying? Hosea, come on. I mean, this is a man who had to live his life with a wife who he knew was having an adulterous relationship, bearing him children. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't want to spend too much time there, because that whole thing ends badly. But listen, this is how God is showing us his example of his love for us. One of the songs we sang this morning about he sings over us and we don't even hear him. Zephaniah 3:17. At the very thought of you, he spins wildly in anticipation over you. Come on, this is his love for us that he put in our hearts. When I think of certain people at church, or I think of, you know, friends and family, and I think of people I know, and I start to have these fond memories come up of them. I don't, you know, there are bad memories. I don't dwell on those. I don't dwell on a hurt or an offense, because if I do that, then I'm just feeding that in my brain. It's like the little hamster on the wheel, spinning round and round. It's in the same thing, going over the same thought. Rehearsing it. Stop it. Don't be a hamster on a wheel. Don't let your brain run like that. There's an old saying, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. That's the same thing. If I let myself be thought-led, if I let myself be flesh-led, then I can't let myself be love-led. And I need to be love-led, not experience-led. Because experience, everybody has bad experiences with people. Jesus said that the world would know that we were his disciples by our love one for another. How does that even look? How does that look? It means, come on, it's easy. We get along. You know that old saying, just because I'm right doesn't mean I have to be right. Right? I can be right all day long, but I don't have to be right. I might have an opinion about something, and my opinion might be based well-mattered on a history of facts, but I don't have to prove that I'm right. Because more important than having an opinion, because everybody's got them, they're like belly buttons. If you've been born, you've got one. Everybody has opinions. Everybody has experiences. But if I'm led by my opinion, and I have to prove to you that my opinion is right, then I'm not walking in love. Because now I'm trying to correct you and make you be more like me. Because you have to be more like me. Trust me, I get that sometimes too. I'm like, no, you're wrong. I know what's right, and I'm going to correct you. And I'm like, you know, and then as soon as I do it, I'm like, man, I feel like somebody just slimed me. And who was it? It was me. I slimed me. Paul said to the church at Corinth, come on, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not conceited. Does not act improperly. Is not selfish. Is not provoked. That's a hard one for me. Does not keep a record of wrongs. I'm pretty good at that, not keeping records of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness. Come on, it finds no joy when things go wrong for other people. There's no joy in that, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love never ends. It bears all things. Come on, think of Hosea. He had to bear all those iniquities, all those adulterous relationships that his wife was having with him or on him. He had to bear through all of that. God has had to bear through all of that with us. He has had to look past that and say, I put my love in your heart. I love you. And he's waiting for us to start bearing all things. I think about that, not easily provoked. Not easily irritated. That's really what it is. To be easily provoked is to be easily irritated. That just means, well, you know, it's my Irish ancestry. No, it's not. It's your flesh. It's how your mama did. It's how your daddy did. It's how you learned how to do. It's not your genetic history. You're not predisposed to be easily irritated. The flesh is. The flesh loves to be easily irritated. Why? Because the flesh likes to have its way. It likes to be right. It doesn't want to be wrong. It just wants what it wants when it wants what it wants. Did you follow that? It just wants what it wants when it wants what it wants. You know, it has its way. And our flesh is not our heart. Our flesh has not had the love of God been shed abroad on it. It's shed abroad in our heart. And we're supposed to live from our heart. We're supposed to live from our heart, not our flesh. It's not easily angered. Dead men don't get mad. They don't get irritated. They don't demand their own way. I'm not dead. No, you are. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, 21, he said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I'm a dead man. This isn't my life. I don't get to just go around and be boastful over things that I've done and my accomplishments. Come on. We're told that if that's how you need to be, this is your reward. Your reward is the pats on the back and all the congratulations. Oh, you did such a fantastic job. We're so proud of you. I have God's love in my heart. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. He has shed his love abroad in my heart. And because of that, I can walk away from being easily irritated. And it's not easy the first few times to just get up. Sometimes the best thing to do when something is irritating you is just get up and go somewhere else. Just get up and say, you know what, excuse me, I need to go. Okay? You don't have to tell somebody, you're really irritating me. Because they're not irritating you. You're irritating you. Because you don't like what they're saying or you don't like what they're doing. The love of God says, it doesn't matter, honey. I love you. Right? The love of God doesn't let, you don't let your flesh get irritated. You don't let your flesh get provoked. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And if the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, you're not going to act emotionally and insensitively. Oh, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. No, I understand. I get led by my flesh too. Stop it. We have to stop being led by our flesh. It's not the love of God. Listen, critical isn't a fruit of the Spirit. Critical is not a gift of the Spirit. You might say, well, I got a word of wisdom for you. No, no, you don't. It's not a word of wisdom. It's not a word of knowledge to go around correcting people. We're to let the Holy Spirit do that. Even Jesus said, there's going to be chaff growing up with the wheat. Let it. Leave it alone. Leave people alone that you disagree with. Just love them. There are lots of people I disagree with. I just love them. We just love them. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. We're told that love covers a multitude of sin. Somebody may be transgressing against you because that's what sin is, to transgress against. Right? If somebody is transgressing against you, against your beliefs, against your doctrine, against your high-held opinions and your overrated experiences on how things ought to be, and somebody has now sinned against you on that, love doesn't get irritated by it. Love doesn't have to prove them wrong. Love doesn't have to get upset. You can walk in love with anybody. We can walk in love with anybody. Dad brought up this morning, Paul and Silas are in prison, because they cut off the financial stream for a couple who had a servant who was bewitched with a spirit. And so they get put in prison. That while they're praying, the prison doors open and the chains fall off. If they had left, that prison guard would have killed himself. But they stayed. Because unlike Peter, they didn't have an angel come direct them. Now you need to get out of here and take them to. The chains fell off. Did that mean it was time for them to go? No. They stayed. Paul held up. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Paul is great about keeping his civic rights. He is the first to stand up and say, oh, you can't do that. I'm a Roman citizen by birth. Come on. Sometimes we like to say as Christians, we shouldn't get politically involved. Paul did. He always held up and always put up his political right as a citizen of Rome. They stayed there. What happened? That jailer and his whole family got saved, didn't they? They could have left, then the jailer would have died. He would have killed himself. Love. Paul is walking in love. He's in prison and yet walking in love. Love covers the faults of others. Everybody who's been married or is currently married has a spouse who has faults. You don't have to raise your hands. I'm married. I know it's true. Most of the time, it's me. I understand that. And I'm always saying that. When I say, I know, I'm usually the problem. People say, I can't believe that you're like that. Oh, no, I can be a handful. I can be a handful. Nothing from you. Let love cover other people's faults the way you want love to cover your faults. You've got the love of God living in your heart. If we disagree on something that we're both very passionate about in different directions, doesn't mean that I have to be right and that I need to convince you that you're wrong. It means this is another opportunity to let love cover. Because love covers. Love protects. Love does that for other people. It automatically will cover you as well. If you cover the faults of someone else, people who know you will cover your faults in love too. When people come to talk bad about you, they're gonna ignore it. They're gonna do whatever. They're just gonna cover, because talking ill of someone isn't walking in love. Now that you might have a conversation with someone and say, "I'm really having trouble with this person," or "I'm really having," well, you know what? We can learn to walk in love with it anyway, can't we? This is a hard one. I'm not always right. Even harder, you're not always right. Right? Nobody's always right. Nobody's opinions are always perfect. But if we walk in love with each other, even if you're right, I can be right and you can be right, and we can just agree to disagree and still just walk in love with each other. Because love covers, and that's how love covers. I disagree with people. I don't have to be right. I can go tell Kathy, that person disagreed with me, and tell her what I believe, and she'll be like, well, I don't know, I can see both sides to that. And I'm like, you're just not helping. You're just playing devil's advocate. Listen, the person that you're disagreeing with isn't trying to make you mad. Just because someone disagrees with you doesn't mean that they're trying to be mean. It doesn't mean that they're trying to be argumentative. You've stated your opinion, they've stated their opinion. That's fine, let's go on. Because that's how love is. Jesus said, they'll be known by their love one for another. When we can agree to disagree and let the love of God splatter out of us onto other people and let the love of God that's in us cover them, then their love will cover us. And then we're walking in love. We're walking in unity. We're walking in a greater understanding of the love of God. We're walking in a greater understanding of the fullness of God. And as we do that, then we'll begin to experience more of the fullness of God. Because that's what Paul said in his prayer, isn't it? Paul's prayers were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, if you'll cover her sins, she'll cover your sins. You'll experience more of the fullness that I have for you, and you'll experience greater glory. You'll experience greater of my presence when you come together. Why? Because we're walking in real love. We're covering each other. We're covering up for each other. We're covering up for hurt feelings. I know people get hurt feelings. Paul said, acting in God's love, you will believe the best of people. When we walk in love, we're going to start believing the best of others. Start believing that that person doesn't mean to be offensive. Stop believing that that person isn't just trying to disagree with you. Stop believing that that person is just trying to be hard to get along with, because you know the truth is, they're not. They're just as broken as you are. Theirs just sticks out a different way. Every single one of us has those areas in our lives that the love of God needs to cover. That we need to let that love that's shed abroad in our hearts fix those areas so that we can walk in a greater understanding. Don't say bad things about other people. When we do that, we feed our flesh. I think it was Brother Hagin. He was at a memorial service for someone, and someone asked him to say something. And this was, you know, somebody that nobody liked. He was mean, crotchety, irritable. Nobody liked it. And so Brother Hagin was asked to say something at his memorial service. And he said, well, you sure had nice teeth. But if you can't find something nice to say about somebody, work on it. And if you can't say anything nice, just say, I pass. I pass. I pass on being judgmental. I pass on being critical. I want the love of God to lead my life. I want the love of God to run over in my heart. I want it to maneuver my mouth. Come on, I want the love of God to maneuver my mouth so that when something happens, my mouth is maneuvered towards love instead of towards being critical or easily irritated. Because I want my mouth to be maneuvered to believe automatically the best of someone. If someone says something derogatory, I want to believe the best of them. Well, I don't know about that. This is my experience with that person all the time. You know what I'm saying? I refuse to take up offense and let my flesh override the love of God that has been burst and splattered abroad in my heart and deny it its right to manifest in my life. Every single one of us, that's how they're going to know that we're his disciples, because we prefer one another. That's what Scripture says. Oh, boy, look at the time. Okay. We're told in Scripture, that in the New Testament Scriptures, that we are the temple of God. When we let the love of God smooth our edges, come on, when we let the love of God be the concrete between us, then we look like us, but we act like him. And then we're being a temple that's being built up And we look like us on the outside, but we're like him on the inside. That's what the love of God does. It changes us systematically from the inside, from our DNA. We call it our DNA. We've just always been like that. I have this friend, she's, well, that's just the way I am. I've always been like that. Well, stop it. You know? You don't know her. None of you have ever met her. She's so sweet. But you know, here's the thing. Just because I've always been a certain way doesn't mean I always need to stay that way. You might say, I've always struggled in this area. Well, stop it. Just let Jesus' love fill that spot with his, let his love manifest in our hearts so that we can be the love example, that we can be the let God fix your neighbor kind of person. I don't need to. God will fix my neighbor. God will fix that person. Even Paul said, God will fix it even if I'm wrong. He'll fix it. Right? That's walking in love. I don't have to be right. I have to walk in love. We will perfect the love walk, and then we will really know and comprehend with the saints what is the width of God's love. What is the length of his love? How deep is his love? We're going to understand that even more and more. I'm thinking as you guys are doing worship this morning, so much of the songs had to deal with the love of God. Perfect. His love is perfect. His love is never ending. It's never failing. There's no, you're going to get down to the bottom of it one day and find that the love of God is no longer there for you, because it's always there for you. His love is continuing to expand. His love has never reached a border. His love has never reached a border. His love is a spacious place. It's a rescuing place. It's a perfecting place. It's a place where you can rest, where you know that he himself is spinning wildly in anticipation at the very thought of you, because that's how much he loves you. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for loving us. Even when we weren't receiving it, even when we were rejecting you, even when we were rebelling against you, you still loved us. And your love for us never ceases. It never ends. I ask right now, Father, that you would give every person here a greater understanding and a greater depth and a greater experience in your love, so that we can walk in love, fully comprehending your fullness and fully comprehending your love, so that we can walk in the divine love of God, being perfected in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.